If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
It always sounds good when they say it's 98%, 100% occupied, 95% occupied. Don't ask that. Ask, what are the collections?
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Chris is the Chief Executive Officer of QC Capital. He is a strong business development professional in the multifamily real estate industry. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Sam. Very excited to add value to your listeners.
Man, this is great. Pumped to have you on. Can you give us the same questions I always ask everybody? Can you give us a brief overview of where you started? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Yes, definitely. I started out in the single family space. I was a residential broker here in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I still reside. Been here over 14 years. Very quickly gained success with Keller Williams. I grew a small team. I ended up merging that team with the number one team in the Carolinas at the time. We actually were able to get to fourth in the world with Keller Williams by unit count. And when I did the merger, they were around $92 million in annual sales. I was able to bring them to $147 million in a year and a half compared to their 3 years of being stagnant with no growth. After that, I realized the grass was actually greener on the other side when it comes to multifamily investing. I remember the game Monopoly, and the bigger the building you had on your land, the more someone paid you rent, and the more money you got, and that's how you won the game. And so that's what I'm doing in real life, and I'm helping other passive investors. I'm helping other individuals realize the same thing I realized, is that you can be a part of these large multifamily deals. I then transitioned into the multifamily space. I scaled very quickly. Within 7 months of me creating QC Capital, we acquired a little over $40 million and 364 units. And then I really focused in and made sure we had a very strong foundation as a company. Once I did that, we then started really heavily acquiring or looking and analyzing assets. A lot did not pencil in, so we made sure we stuck strict to our criteria. And closed a deal towards the end, actually December 29th of last year. So we were able to raise around $7 million during a presidential election, during COVID, and during the holidays, which was a very exciting process. And from there, we are now over $55 million and 500 units within 2 years. So we scaled very quickly, and our goal this year is minimum $100 million assets under management. And surprisingly enough, we're analyzing a portfolio at $100 million. So hopefully we get it. That would be a nice one.
Right. So if you move forward that deal, you'll put yourself at 1.5 times your goal for 2021. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. If we acquire that in the first to second quarter of this year, that means we've already achieved our goal. And now we need to shoot for 200 units. I mean, 200 million.
Right. Right. What do you do to celebrate your goals when you hit them?
You know, that's a good question, Sam. And I'm the type, and if you ever watch that Michael Jordan documentary, you know, I believe in celebrating small successes, and it leads up to the very large one. But I'm a different type of individual. I celebrate as congratulations, we're good. Now let's go. Let's get started. And I've had a couple of my employees say, let's go out to dinner. And I'm like, all right, set it up because I'm ready to go. You know, I'm ready to get started on to the next. So, and I think that comes to the fact is that there's only one person that I'm in competition with and I'm trying to compete with, and that's myself.
Sure.
I am always striving to push myself harder and harder. So I don't know if I will ever win against myself, but I'm always trying to push myself and level up myself. So it's when I feel like I have some downtime, it's like, how can I educate myself to be better? How can I push myself? How can I grow my knowledge? What can I do to better educate myself and my business and to make it more of a, an easier avenue for investors to find us, to invest alongside of us? So I'm always thinking of ways to improve the company and our employees as well.
Right, right. And I think that's one of the things, I love the constant friction of making, growing, leveling up, as you put it. I think that's something that for those of us who are go-getters, which I think most of us in this space, if you're listening to this podcast, you're doing those things. You're constantly on the look to what's next. Something that I think we struggle with, and I know I struggle with, is looking at what our successes have been. Like, there's a book, it's called Your Best Year Yet. It's something we go through every year. And one of the first exercises that you go through in that is you have to write down what you accomplished, which is really hard for me because I'm like, wait, what did I accomplish? Like, what's that got to do with anything? I thought we're writing down our best year yet, like looking forward, not looking back. So yeah, I was just curious how you guys, you know, look back and say, hey man, cool. Look, we might hit 100 million. Obviously, you don't want to stay there. That's never the goal, is to be like, oh, good, look at us. Now we can just take the rest of the year off. That's not
No. That's just our appetizer.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, definitely. And our main goal is in within 5 years to have over a billion assets under management. We're going to be doing that very heavily with our family office institution and our strong investor base that is this growing every single day. And the trust that they have in us to source great quality deals. And so that right there is just going to keep growing. And before you know it, I think we can strongly hit a billion assets under management within 3 years, because I'm always trying to level up and push ourselves harder and harder.
Well, yeah. And momentum begets more momentum.
Correct.
That's once you get that snowball moving, then it gets much bigger, much faster.
Then it turns into an avalanche, but you have to learn how to control it, because you don't want it to turn into an avalanche where it's just wild across the board, because then you're going to get stuck under the avalanche. So you want to make sure you can control it.
Right. And that's a great segue into really the next, you know, I've got several questions kind of on that, what we just finished talking about. Maybe we'll come back to that. But since we're talking about the avalanche, you know, one of the things that, you know, I've heard somebody else say is that, you know, success can crush you if you're not prepared for it with the right systems and the right people in place to handle. And I've been there at business. I had a business, I'm getting old, 10 years ago, at least, that we quadrupled in size in 1 year. And it was crushing because we didn't have the processes in place. So what are you guys doing as you grow and scale so quickly? Like, what are some of the key things that you're doing to set up people and processes? What's that look like for you so that you can continue to grow?
So if you can remember when I first gave my intro and where I came from and where I am now, I said in the first 7 months, we acquired a little over 40 million. And then after that, I really honed in on our systems, our foundation as a company. So it took us a year to acquire our next deal after that. And the reason why is because I wanted to make sure our foundation was the strongest. And when you build a high rise, what do you start with? The foundation.
Right.
And you need to make sure that foundation is strong, or the high rise you can't build up. So before me wanting to scale the company to a billion, 2 billion, 5 billion, and eventually 10 to 20 billion assets under management, which I know we'll get there as a company, I needed to make sure the foundation of the company and is very strong to poise 500 a billion assets under management. And we are there to achieve 500 million assets under management at the moment. And yes, we will obviously hire talented individuals, and we're seeking some jobs, right, or some individuals for some positions with the company. But we're always going to be hiring very talented individuals as we grow as a company, to bring new ideas, to bring new strategies, to better run these assets more efficiently and to achieve the highest return possible.
How do you protect your time inside the company?
That's a great one. Protecting time, you know, and I'm going to be honest, and I'll always honest and straightforward, is time management's difficult for me. Managing my time with the family and everything, it's very difficult because I have an addiction problem, and it's because I love work, and I'm addicted to work, and I have to work around 14 to 15 hours a day. I just do. If I don't, I get antsy. Yep. And my fiance knows that. She knows that I did not get enough work in, and I enjoy it. I love what I do, and I love helping people. So the time I have is, I recently hired an exclusive assistant to me, which has taken a lot of my time, like little things with scheduling and appointments and things like that, she now handles, which is just a huge time saver. She also runs errands for me. If I have to have her run to the bank or mail something out, she does all that, which is a huge time saver and helps me tremendously. So little things like that. And then also, you know, as you grow a large company, everyone wants a piece of your time. They all want a piece of your knowledge. And when you do that, you have to make sure you vet them out. Before this, I had a 15-minute call with a group of guys who are looking to invest, and they're coming out to Charlotte next Wednesday. And the reason why I had that 15-minute call is because their first initial email is, Chris, I'd love to take you to lunch. Well, I get asked that all the time, and I'm not going to spend an hour at a lunch giving out, you know, my knowledge to companies, information and things like that if it's not beneficial for both parties.
Sure.
And so I said, let's schedule a 15-minute call, and had my assistant set it up to really dive deeper in why do you want to go to lunch. And in this happened to be a beneficial 15-minute call. And so I said, well, let's go to lunch next Wednesday.
Right.
So little things like that really help as you grow a company and scale is don't, you know, when you first get started, you want to meet anyone, everyone, talk to anyone and everyone. But you really need to make sure that as you start scaling and growing your portfolio and your net worth, you really start vetting these individuals out. You don't just take random calls here and there. You control your time and you make sure that your meetings that you have are well beneficial, because we all have the same hours in the day together. It's just how you use it and optimize on it.
Right, right. And I think that's brilliant. I think it was Dan Sullivan in the Strategic Coach. I think he was the one that said, you know, the first things you do is outsource your calendar. Like, that's just get somebody else managing your calendar, because that can be a huge time suck. So I think that's a great point, you know, that you've made there. Let's rewind a little bit, you know, and really get back into the nuts and bolts of how you scaled. So in 7 months, you acquired the first, what was that, a $40 million that you guys?
Yeah, a little over $40 million, so three properties.
Right. That's awesome, by the way. Good. Hats off to you for doing that. What was your funding strategy for this? I think this is a bottleneck for a lot of investors, is that you might find a great deal, but you might not know how you're going to get it funded. So what was your high level thinking on how to find capital partners?
Yeah, great question. So coming from the single family space, I was able to still keep those relationships very strong and to build them deeper. And I had a handful of individuals that came to me when I was making that transition saying, hey, Chris, I want to buy some more single family rentals. And I said, well, I'm no longer a broker. I let my licensing go, but let me tell you about multifamily investing. And they loved it. And so I brought a lot of individuals from the multifamily investment, or excuse me, the single family into the multifamily investment world, which they love because of the tax benefits, the monthly income, all of that. They love the benefits that it provides compared to single family. So that's what I did, was I transitioned them. But ultimately, the first couple deals, I partnered with very experienced operators, partnered with them, used their knowledge, and they helped tremendously when it came to also bringing in the additional capital that was needed. You know, so I always recommend that if you're going to partner with individuals that you can work with, that can also bring capital, that has knowledge and very well experienced about the deal, because it helps tremendously. Last thing you want to do is put your back against the wall and you have nowhere to move. For our most recent acquisition, at one point, I had $875,000 hard at one point. So that was a lot of money.
We're gambling now, boys.
Yeah, that was a big one.
That's awesome. Good for you.
You know, I slept a little bit at night.
Right.
But you have to do some things in life and you have to take some risk. And that this was a very calculated risk. And I felt comfortable doing it because of my team I put in place. And the trust we have amongst each other. So that's how we did the first deal and then partnered on it.
Right, right. That's really cool. That's really smart to go out the door with people that have an idea of you know, you got to have a guide. I don't think anybody takes any great venture on without first having a guide along the way. So that's really cool. How did you guys go about, I mean, and again, you did it in a truncated window. Like 7 months is pretty rapid growth. How did you refine your buy box, or maybe your buying criteria, we'll call it? How did you refine that such that when you saw the deal that you liked, you said, that's the one we're going with?
For the first deal, it was a small deal. It was 44 units. And I found that off market by touring a 91 unit. And that 91 unit property, we were in best and final. And I looked over and I saw an additional 44. And I said, let's combine this. Let's make this 135. You know, this is what I'm talking about. This is great. And unfortunately, we lost in best and final in the 91 units. And about a week later, I called the broker back. I said, hey, did they get the 44? And they said, no. I said, well, let's go. I'd like to go ahead and tour it and get and see if they want to sell. And they did want to sell. And we toured it and we eventually we acquired it. So that's how we acquired our first one, was off market. And that's what we mainly focus on, is off market. But really focusing on the criteria is that economies of scale. I mean, 100, 150, 200 unit. Yes, it's going to cost more capital, but it's going to be the same amount of work as that 44 unit. And that 44 unit may bring more trouble. So we really wanted to make sure that, you know, as we scaled as a company, that we focused on the 100 plus units. And now we're focusing on between 1990 and 2017. In my opinion, reason being is that vintage of a year built type of product poises for certain individuals as prospective tenants that are renting. And those prospective tenants, in my opinion, have very strong employment because of the type of the units, the style of the units, and the price. So that's our main focus, because we want to be very cautious and we want to make sure that that we're watching it very closely when it can come to collections. If you're out there and if you're a passive investor, or if you're a new investor looking to passively invest, and whether if it's with us or with, you know, another group, it always sounds good when they say it's 98, 100% occupied, 95% occupied. Don't ask that. Ask, what are the collections? What's the collections look like? Are they 90% collected? Are they 95% collected? Okay, if they're 95, what is now the occupancy? You can be at 100% occupancy and be 10% collected. Well, that's you're still in a bad position. If you're at 100% occupancy and 10% collected, you're still in a very bad position.
Right. What's the term for that? Let's educate here real quick. What's the term for that? There's an economic occupancy. Yeah. Is that what they, yeah.
Yeah, economic you can say economic occupancy. That's a term on what they have in there. My main thing is that you ask, what are the collections look like? What are the actual collections? What are they collecting and bringing in?
As compared to what it should be, right?
Correct. Yeah. As you know, what it should be based off of the occupancy and the economic occupancy.
Right.
So that's the number one question I always ask now is, what are the collections? Even with brokers, what do the collections look like? The collections look like, and we got a deal off market, collections are terrible. They're running at an 83% occupancy and collections are like 50, and they want like top dollar for this property. You're not going to get it. It's ridiculous. So it's very important for that. The property we just acquired, they were producing low 70s collections. Month one, we were able to do it at 87% collected. Month one, 87% collected.
Which just because the collections are low doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad buy. And in fact, it might be a great buy, because if you have, like you have, the skill set to go in there and turn those collections around, gosh, you're adding value overnight.
Overnight. I mean, the most recent deal, it's a 506C, so I can give out some information on it. It's only open to accredited investors, or it was. We've now closed it, but it was a 506C, so we were able to market it. Those, what we're achieving right now, we're achieving $50 more in our rent premiums than our pro forma.
On how many doors?
144. Yeah, that's what I said. yeah, I did that same thing. I leaned back and talked to my underwriter like, holy cow, what's our IRR now?
What's your IRR? I mean, gosh, even on a 10 cap, you've added what? At least $1 million, $1.5 million in.
Oh, it's a lot. Yeah. I don't want to give that exact number out, but it's a lot. It jumped tremendously.
So right.
We're very pleased on how it's operating.
Absolutely.
And it comes down to being efficient, having a great property manager, and making sure you're staying on top of those property managers. It's very important to do that.
Right. So is that one of the things that you guys do not self-manage?
At the moment, we do not, but we will eventually. After a couple more assets that we have, we will eventually bring self-manage in-house.
Right. And I think that goes back to your building the foundation. Like, you can only juggle so many things at a time.
Yes.
And so if you can sub out property management for now while you guys perfect the rest of your systems, I think that's a natural progression that we keep seeing. You know, you always see people go from single family to multifamily, or single family to some commercial assets, and then they get into commercial, then they build out their commercial business, and then they bring management on. It's kind of like one of the last pieces of the puzzle I see people plugging in.
Yeah. And, you know, management's not a fun job, but, you know, someone has to do it. And it's better if you can manage, in my opinion, in-house. You can run the property more efficiently. You can, make sure that returns are maximum for those assets. So it makes sense.
Right. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. Chris, let's jump here and jump into the final four here if we can.
Yes.
What is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
Find a mentor and surround yourself with individuals on where you want to be. Even if you have to serve water in the room, if you have to, you know, serve food in the room to get into that room, find a way to get into that room and stay in there.
That's awesome. What's one thing you're currently doing to stay on top of your game?
One thing I'm currently doing to stay on top of my game is I'm joining some private networking that you have to have a certain net worth, certain liquidity to join. So I'm joining those private networking groups with other individuals at my level or actually far beyond my level. They are pushing me to just be the best person I can be. So
that's awesome. When it comes to giving back, what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
Oh, I love that question. One thing that we're doing and one thing that I've been doing is working with a local rescue mission here in Charlotte. So it's all about individuals that are addicts, if it's alcohol, if it's drugs, and helping them start a whole new life, because I'm big about mindset and changing that mindset to succeed. So that's what I enjoy doing right now.
Right, right. And I think all of us have that level up. Like you said in the beginning of this show, is that all of us have that level up possibility within us. So good for you for it. Doesn't matter where you are now, you can always level up. So that's awesome. Right. Good for you for doing that.
You take control of your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Yes. Go ahead and email me directly at chris@qccapitalgroup.com. You can visit our website, which is qccapitalgroup.com. Submit to join our investor club, and I will reach out to you personally for a 15 to 30 minute call to listen to your goals and to see how we can work together this year.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Chris, for your time. I do appreciate it.
Sam, thank you. I enjoyed it. Take care.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.